You know, we've been looking at the life of Jacob, and I personally believe he's one of the most interesting characters in the Bible, on the basis that he really is a reflection. He's a true reflection of the natural man, struggling in life to make it, and not knowing his true ordination as being blessed of God, as being called to rule, and trying by all means to earn that blessing of God and that blessing of his father. His assumption was the blessing of his father. And of course, the blessing of a father is very important, because for the natural man, they need the blessings of the father, and God also blesses people through parents. You know, I mean, if your father is able to bless you, and you receive the blessing of your natural father, you are able to go far. You understand? You are able to. There's a dimension that it adds to you that might be better than someone who has not received the blessing of his natural father. And now here I'm speaking about the natural blessing. And you see, so the natural blessing is what Jacob was fighting for. And what happens when we read Genesis 27, and I know you've been reading because you're good Bible students, is that Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis 27 verse 1, that when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me. Prepare the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you the blessing before I die." And then the Bible says that now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game meat and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man. I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and will bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say and go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just like the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her elder son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son. She also covered his hands on the smooth part of his neck and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. She handed her son to Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Verse 19 of Genesis 27. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly?" Then he said, "The Lord gave me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him and asked, "Are you really my son Esau?" He asked, "I am." Then he said to him, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's rich dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." And verse 30 says, "And after Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said, 'My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing.' His father Isaac asked him, 'Who are you?' He said, 'I am your son,' he answered, 'Esau, your firstborn.' Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed.' When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, me too, my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing.' Esau said, 'Isn't he not rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my blessing.' Then he asked, 'Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?' Isaac answered Esau, 'I have made him lord over you, and have made him over all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?' Esau said to his father, 'Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father.' Then Esau wept aloud. His father answered him, 'Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck.'" I don't know why I've been able to read all this, but I think God really just wants us to really have some understanding of the blessing. Remember, we talked about the blessing. And I want to point the finger to Christ, because that's the foundation. Remember, we are studying God revealing himself through his son. And in past times, he revealed himself to the Father through the prophet. So, as I said, anything that we read in the Old Testament, you have to point it to Christ. It's a pointing finger to Christ. You must ask yourself, how does this reflect to Christ? And it quickly takes us to Ephesians 1 verse 3, where it says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And yesterday, remember, we talked about that the blessing that Jacob received when he was converted to Israel was the spiritual blessing that he realized was the most important. It was the spiritual substance that he thought he could have gained through the physical blessing. You understand? So he stole the birthright. He stole the physical blessing, the parental blessing from his brother. But as he lived with Laban, his uncle, as he struggled, as his wages were changed 10 times, as he worked for 20 years and he could have gotten nothing, he realized that there is a greater blessing than even the parental blessing. I'm not saying that the parental blessing is bad. In fact, the parental blessing is good. And actually, God could not override the parental blessing. God worked through the parental blessing. And that's why he made sure that Jacob received the parental blessing, even though it was done in a cunning way. You understand? Even though there was a cunning nature, even though there was cunningness that was involved, and you can see how the mother was involved in the cunningness, and it tells us a challenge of where fathers become dim in their eyes. And this dimness is not the physical dimness, because with age you can lose your sight, but this is the spiritual dimness that occurred in Isaac. And you see, Isaac was old, but you see, he tells us that he saw that he had the voice. He said that your voice is the voice of Jacob, but your hands are the hands of Esau. Your voice is the voice of Jacob, but your smell is the smell of Esau. So we are seeing a principle here that it was the voice that is the most important. You remember, if we read Revelation, we are told that the beast, or rather the false prophet, has the appearance of a sheep, but has the voice of a dragon. So we need to learn something about the importance of the voice. That's why we are told, listen for the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Because the false prophet will appear, the Antichrist, he will have the appearance of a sheep. He will pretend to be a sheep. He will pretend to be a man of God. But he shall have the voice of a dragon. He shall speak like a dragon. That means that we have to be sensitive, even in the last days, that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is actually of God. Because there are people who will come and they will work miracles. But in their voice, you will hear the voice of a dragon. Because you'll realize that the voice is not of God. Now that is where comes the discernment of spirits. And I'm just bringing, what I'm pouring you in is into thoughts. And so that you can dig deeper into it. How is it that Isaac was confused? He knew that this voice is not the voice of Esau. But he decided to work with physical things. He decided to work with his touch. He decided to work with his smell. And he was deceived. But in that deception, he gave the blessing to his son Jacob, the secondborn son. And what is the blessing? The smell of my son is like the smell of a field the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness. You can imagine heaven's dew, earth's richness, abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you. May you be Lord over your brothers. And may those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. This is the blessing of a father. When he speaks of the richness of heaven's dew, he speaks of the spiritual blessing. May you be receiving revelations from God. May you be receiving insights. You understand? So dew fell before manna. So dew is the revelation. Then manna was the physical bread they ate. So he was saying that may you receive first of the heavenly blessing. Then may you receive of earth's riches. The abundance of the earth, the abundance of your ground, of what you shall eat, of what you shall dig. And then may you receive rulership. Remember this, we were talking about the firstborn blessing. This is the birthright. We talked about the abundance, the blessing. Then we talked about the natural, the kingship and the priesthood. And that is the blessing of the firstborn. And this is what he received from his father. And remember, us, we have received the blessing of the firstborn in Christ. So we have received wealth, riches, the natural things, the double portion. Then we have also received the kingship, and we have also received the priesthood. Now, many times, some people only function on the priestly nature that they have received, which is okay, but is not the full dimension that is in Christ, that is available in Christ. We need to move apart from the priestly dimension of rulership to also the kingly dimension of rulership, which is understanding that God has given us dominion and he expects us to exercise dominion on the earth. And that is where we also now receive the kingdom, the domain. That is the double portion of the physical manifestation. So it is the spiritual blessing that starts, then you receive the physical manifestation. Now, when Jacob received the blessing of his father, automatically it did not translate to physical things until he also worked into them. You understand? Until he, you know, he kept the flock, he dug, you know, everything that he did, his sons, he received sons, you know, he had sons, he had children. So it is a spiritual component that always starts. Always remember that our physical world was created from the invisible. God first made the spirit. Everything that we see in the physical first manifests in the spiritual. It must have existed in the spiritual before it came to the physical. Both good things and bad things. Cancer came first from the spiritual realm before it appears in the physical in your body. And that is why when you pray, you can send it back to the spiritual and it leaves your body. And that is how healing. And when you look at healing and sickness, how did Jesus deal with healing and sickness? Jesus cast out devils. Jesus understood that sickness was actually a devil. Sickness was actually an evil spirit. That was the understanding of Christ. Of course, medical, I mean, and God has given wisdom to deal with medical things and understand it and deal with that. But how Jesus dealt with sickness is that he dealt with them from the spiritual dimension. So I really want you to have that perception and that understanding that the spiritual and the physical, that interface. And the blessing that is most important is the spiritual blessing that we've received in Christ. But it does not translate to the physical until we walk into it. Until we walk into it, until we grow into maturity. Remember, the law is given as a custodian. All these things, all these things are, we receive it positionally. We are seated with Christ, but then we walk into it. We walk into it. There is a process. There is a spiritual growth. There is a process of transformation. Sanctification is the process of continually being made holy, being transformed with the renewal of your mind. This is the washing of the word that we have been talking about, the washing of the word that takes place. And I remember we talked about yesterday also that when Esau realized that he lost the blessing, the father gave him an escape route. He told him that even though your dwelling place will be away from earth's riches, you'll be away from the dew of heaven, you will live by the sword and you will serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Now, remember what happened to Adam when Adam sinned. What did God tell him? God told him that you shall sweat. the land shall toil. You will toil. In the same way, it's the same thing that is happening here. He's being told that, you know what? You will leave this place. You'll be out of the abundance of heaven. But there's an escape route. And that's the beauty of God. Inasmuch as Adam was taken out of the Garden of Eden, the woman was told, you shall be redeemed through childbirth. And he was told that your seed, the seed of the woman, shall crush the head of the serpent. So God still put redemption in man, even when man sinned, even when man fell, even when he was sent off, even when Cain sinned. When Cain killed his brother, when he was told he'll be a vagabond on the earth, he said, no, every man who finds me will kill me. God still had grace and he put a mark on him and said, I've put a mark on you that no one will ever kill you. No one will kill you. So, this blessing of Jacob that he received from his father is just a mirror, is a shadow pointing us to the blessing that we receive in Christ, the firstborn blessing. So I want you not, I know you, maybe you've never received the blessing of your father, but I want you to know that there is a spiritual blessing that is superior to the blessing of the father, of your earthly father. It is good to get the blessing of your earthly father, but if your earthly father refuses, there is a spiritual blessing that is superior to that, which is the blessing that you receive in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, you have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I want you I pointed something about the dimness of the eyes of the Father, the spiritual blindness. And that's why Isaac blessed his son Jacob instead of blessing his son Esau. Now, when Jacob was old, and please I will ask you to go and read Genesis 48. Just you'll read it. When Jacob was old, and he decided to claim the two sons of Joseph, he tells him that your two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, will be mine. The same way Reuben and Levi are mine. But if you have children after that, they are yours. Huh? I hope I got the... Yeah, but anyway, I think it was, I was correct. Yes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, these two sons of Joseph, when Joseph got these two sons, he named his firstborn Manasseh. He named his two sons Manasseh. Manasseh meant that, if I remember well, is that it's... what was it? I've forgotten exactly. But Ephraim meant that the Lord has made me fruitful. God has made me fruitful. So Ephraim meant fruitfulness in the land of, you know, of my difficulty. Ephraim meant fruitfulness. But Manasseh did not mean fruitfulness. But Manasseh was the second born son. Now, when Jacob tells Joseph that I am taking your sons, he changes the order. In Genesis chapter 48 verse 5, he says, now your two sons born to you in Egypt before I came to you will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine. He has switched the names. He has not said Manasseh and Ephraim will be mine. He has said Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine. And then he tells them, bring them so that I bless them. And then when he blessed them, the Bible says in verse 10, now Israel's eyes were failing. That means he also, his eyes were growing dim as his father. And he said that he could hardly see. So Joseph brought the two sons and he kissed them. And then verse 12, Joseph removed from Israel and bowed to his face. And verse 13, Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand. So Joseph was positioning the two sons, the firstborn son to be on the right hand of Jacob, and he positioned the secondborn son to be on the left hand, because the firstborn son is supposed to receive the blessing of the firstborn. So Manasseh was supposed to receive the blessing of the firstborn. Ephraim was supposed to receive the blessing of the secondborn. But what Jacob did is that he crossed his hands. You can picture that. He put his right hand on the young son and his left hand on the firstborn son. And then he blessed them. And Joseph was angry. He said, no, father, don't put it like that. This one is the firstborn. And this one is the... Remember, this is the same thing that he went through. It's like, you can see how tendencies continue. How Jacob realized that these two sons also have the differences in grace that he experienced with his brother. So he's blind, yes, but he knows what he's doing. Isaac was blind and he was deceived. But him is blind, yes, but he knew what he was doing. So he switched the hands. And even though Joseph complained, he said, don't worry. What did he say? That, yes, Manasseh will be strong, but Ephraim will be stronger. Remember we talked about divine election. You are chosen in Christ. You have the choice to enter to be chosen in Christ and to receive the blessing of Christ. Or you are among those people who will be destroyed in the last days. You can either decide to enter into the blessing of the sheep or to in the curse of the goats. It's your choice. The choice is yours. You are chosen before Christ, but you only enter into that choice when you accept Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, you will receive the blessing of Abraham. You will receive the blessing of Christ, the superior blessing. So for me, I was just amazed correlating these two, how the same challenge that Jacob went, he does the same for the sons of Joseph. He switches and he even calls Ephraim first. And that tells us the power of our names. I think I'll have to check again. What was the meaning of Manasseh? I've forgotten it. I'd read it some time back. But it is, I think it was something to do with suffering. It was like the Lord has remembered me in the land of my suffering. I think he was still expressing his suffering, of being a slave and all that. But in Ephraim, he said, the Lord has made me fruitful. Maybe it was when he got a wife when he was already the next to Pharaoh. So now he said, now the Lord has made me fruitful. And that name is the one that was to be blessed. So there's really so much power in names, but we have the name that is above every other name. So even if you have a name, whether it's name from where, you have a name that is above every other name. That is the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. So I just want you to, it's always remember, it's a pointing finger. And what I'm throwing to you are just thoughts, ideas. And I believe this is how the apostles taught. That's why they could teach the whole night until people fall asleep, because it's not 3-point sermons like we are taught in Bible school and homiletics. That is not how the early church taught. The early church taught and taught and taught and taught and taught until people sleep and someone falls off from the window and dies, and then he goes and resurrects him and continues teaching. That was poor. So I was just thinking, one of these days we need to have a proper teaching session where we just sit the whole afternoon. And I mean, those who want to be taught will be taught, not this 1.5 hours of service. Just a teaching fest, a word fest, anyway, as God helps us. I'm done for today. You're welcome, my brothers. My God.
Thank you, Dr. Man. Thank you.
Thank God.
I get still the message of being chosen
by
God. Comes up clearly. But also a strong reminder that, I mean, the Bible says we're spiritually blessed.
Amen. Yeah.
And also the grace of God was bestowed upon us through the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think, and as I say, faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Like that. I think to me it's the lack of realization that we are already blessed.
Mm.
Work out that blessing.
Yeah.
Spiritual into the physical.
Yes.
And once we get to know that as children of God and believe that no matter what the situation looks like now, no matter what we're going through now, there is that deeply seated blessing, that the spiritual that God gave us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once Jesus came into this earth, we received that blessing.
Mm.
I think it's given to all.
Yeah.
But honest it.
Yeah.
Is what it was. So, yeah, thanks for that reminder. And we pray that God shall continue strengthening our faith and belief. Yeah. And wisdom in understanding that we are already blessed, work it out in the physical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sorry, it's fine.
It's good?
Okay. Good.
Yeah, you know one thing just about the working. When the Israelites, the Bible says that when they ate the first fruit, of Canaan. You know, the Bible says that when they were promised the land flowing with milk and honey. But the milk and honey was not going to flow into their mouth. So the Bible says when they planted, and the day they ate the first fruit of the land, the manna stopped flowing. The manna stopped coming. That means God did not expect them to continue living in the miraculous. God expected them to work with their hands. And even when you ask the Jews, what does it mean that their milk and honey, they will tell you, no, it's work. But the work of their hands will be blessed. That is why you must work. And you must find an avenue that God will use to bless you. You must find an avenue that God will use to bless you, because God blesses the work of our hands. And no matter how much spiritual blessing you receive, if you don't apply for the job, you will not get it. If you don't work, you will be sacked, you will lose the job. If you don't are not diligent in your workplace, no matter whether you fast 40 days, you will be sacked. And they will be right, because the Bible says, he that does not work should not eat. So we cannot eliminate the role of work. We cannot eliminate the role of diligence. We cannot eliminate the role of honesty. We cannot eliminate, likewise also in the spiritual things, we cannot eliminate our actions that we need to do to maintain our spiritual favor. That's why it says, watch your life and doctrine. What is your character? What is your prayer life? What is your study life? What is your fasting life? There is a part that we have to play. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it is Christ, it is a grace-empowered work. It is Christ who wills us to do and to will according to his good pleasure. I think, Nenyo, that's a lot for us to take for today. Let's reflect on that. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ministration that you've given us. May your name be praised. Bless our day. Bless the work of our hands. Bless our going in and our coming back. Give us wisdom, understanding, and favor. In everything that we do, may your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. May God go ahead of us and be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Da, 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 da.